Oh, how about that? Flash the two right in the face of Paul Calvisi. He loves it.
Let me tell you, this should be on the banned substance list of the NFL. Stinking lover boy on a Friday.
Go ahead and flash it, Paulie. We all know you've got the Jordache jeans and you love to take out the drill and put it through that fine feathered hair of yours.
Don't make me come down there.
Paul brushes his hair with forks, okay, ladies and gentlemen.
That's
flash
it.
The two on a cowbell Friday. The party's not going to be the same without you. Is it, Paul?
I had people text me earlier saying I should punch you. I said, you know what? In hindsight, I told him, I'd get one in. Just one. I get one swing in.
I guess people listening, the truth hurts, doesn't it?
Let me tell you something. This song right here, forget performance enhancing. This is a performance reducer. That's what this is. Performance diminishing is what this stinking song is.
Punch it, though, Paul. Right now. You want a piece
of my heart. Spend this song for 6 days.
Oh. We're live in the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center. Paul Calvisi's back in the Auction Community Studios. Paul, I would have invited you here. I don't know why you don't get invited to your second home.
I really got to prop up Jim Sharp down the hallway at KTAR.
I understand. This is something where I hate to ever do this on the show. I don't like to do this. But we will defer. It's hard to tell, but we will defer to the athlete in the room.
Oh, no. And we use athlete loosely.
Well, Doug, ask me anything you want.
Thank you.
Paul, that's so funny.
And the question is this. Should the Arizona Cardinals as an organization get between the players and the captaincy vote?
Dumb.
Should you ever as an organization tell the team, we're voting for team captains. Here's the people you can't vote for.
Yeah, actually, I have been on teams where it was done both ways.
Yeah?
I have been on teams where it was done both ways for the most
captains
part.
Captains are named and assigned?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Assigned by some. For the most part, though, it was voted by your peers, of course. And I think that is the one that matters the most, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one. Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Of the players, by the players, for the players, let the players decide. There shouldn't be any sort of disqualifications unless it's, something truly heinous. But honestly, I would just let the players decide. If a player has lost the respect of the room, of the locker room, then the votes will show that. I don't see why you need to step in and have a heavy hand in any way, at least in this case.
You know, for the most part, Paulie, I would totally agree with what you said right there. In regard to the fact, though, that, you know what, listen, let the players decide. I'm all for that, Basinonians. I think that's exactly the way that it ought to be for the most part. But I don't think it necessarily says you've lost respect for a certain player if he's not voted captain.
Agreed.
I think it's more about leadership. It's more about leading. Now, listen, ultimately, we could say, yeah, you know what, you've lost respect. There's no doubt about it. Your profile has sunk. And I think there's no doubt about it. Pat Petey, I think his profile has sunk in that locker room.
I wonder.
But it's not because of this. It's because of what happened last
trade
year.
And it doesn't always have to be the best player. I'll give you an example. 2 years ago, the unquestioned leader and captain of that defense was Carlos Dansby. Dansby wasn't wearing a C. But everybody followed Dansby on game day. He was the one firing up the entire team on the field before the game. He was the guy making the calls and the leadership on the field and on the sideline. So there's the C, and then there's leadership, and it doesn't always go hand in hand.
Correct.
Tell me if I would be mocked for this. If I am coaching the Arizona Cardinals, I am going to an assembly of guys. I'm going to bring in Larry Fitzgerald, and I'm going to bring in Corey. I'm going to bring in different people that I already know are leaders on the team. And I'm going to ask them, do you want me to name captains or do you want to vote for them? Because here's the thing. If you vote Patrick Peterson a captain because you're smart enough to know the media attention that will come either way, this is a major story either way. If the players vote team captains, it's huge. If they don't vote him a captain, because then everyone's going to go and ask, and it's fair to ask, why didn't he get the team captaincy? And if he gets it, it's fair to ask every player, what happened here? He asked for a trade. He got suspended for 6 games. He cheated the system, and then he tried to fool the system somehow. Sure. We don't think he deserves to be captain. Why did you vote him that way? Either way, you're going to get the questions. So if I'm a coach, I can take that burden from the players if I name captains, so you don't have to answer those questions. But now you obviously have to deal with me inserting myself into your locker room. Larry, what do you want? And you ask different guys that you look at as leaders. Is that a good way to go?
I think it is a good way to go right there. Start with Larry Fitzgerald. I think that is
always
a good way to go. But I do believe the players, you've got to leave it up to the players to decide this. It's up to them,
okay,
right? And honestly, I think what Paul said, you've got to focus on that based on our needs, because it's so true. It really is. Just because you're wearing the C doesn't mean that you're a guy out there and that you display leadership on a regular basis. You are respected. There's no doubt. If you're voted by your peers and you're wearing the C, you are respected. The thing I really want to emphasize as well, if you take the C from Patrick Peterson, it doesn't mean that the guys don't respect him as a talent, as a player anymore. What it does mean is that they don't respect him to the same degree.
Okay.
And I think that's important to make that distinction.
And realize that the player's value system can differ from the media and the fans. If behind the scenes there are a lot more guys sort of bending the rules a little bit and pushing the limits of the performance enhancing policy than most people realize, then they might not hold him quite as culpable as the rest of us.
Yeah, I don't think it's really for the PED thing, once again. I honestly don't think it's because of that. If, in fact, you're talking about his profile being diminished, because every guy in that locker room, Paul, every guy in that locker room knows Pat P is dripping with talent. Pat P is a freak. Every guy in that locker room knows it. And I don't think everyone thinks it's because of PEDs.
You know, it's a crazy opinion is if I combine both of the things that you said, Wolf, there might have been guys in that locker room that were going to vote for somebody else based on the trade request.
Oh, absolutely.
And now they might vote for him.
No.
And the reason why I say they changed their mind is simply because they don't want to deal with the storyline that's going to come out that's going to be PED related, when in their mind that doesn't affect their vote. They were going to do it for a different reason, Douglas.
There's a possibility that you are correct on that.
That's kind of weird. But how else do you describe it?
I think, honestly, I think if, in fact, you're talking about what happened last year at the trade, the trade deadline coming up, the request by Pat P, I think that may have done more damage to his profile in the locker room. This is just me speculating, ladies and gentlemen, than any PED result.
Well, unless it revolved around a new contract request, unless it was money, unless it was business, and every player in that locker room understands, you know what, that's your business. You go about that the way you feel fit. And a lot of guys don't get involved in another guy's money. So they will distance themselves from holding anyone accountable for that. You do what you got to do to get yours.
You just don't come up with a trade request when everything is falling apart. Mm-hmm. And if you go back to the time, that part of the season, everything was falling apart. I mean, for Steve Wilks in particular and for his staff.
And
Arizona Cardinals were just absolutely unraveling. And that is, I'm not saying there wasn't any ulterior motive, Paul. But for the most part, Pat P at that point in time, I think really did a lot of damage. This is me. I may be dead wrong
totally
on that.
Agreed.
Masonians may be dead wrong on that. It's just me speculating because I spent 10 years in a locker room.
And I said it then, and I'll say it now. I think he got bad advice. He got bad advice from whoever his advisor was on how to go about trying to make that contract demand and play hardball and make the trade request before the deadline, whether it was agent, I don't know who it was. He got bad advice.
Game of Thrones live concert experience heads to Comerica Theater on October 1st, and we're giving you the chance to win tickets. Visit the rewards page at arizonasports.com for your chance to be a winner. Now, first of all, coming up, let me tease way ahead. Coming up at 7:30, Paul was there live at the charitable event of Patrick Peterson's. He's going to be back in at 7:30 to be able to give you kind of exclusive information of what it was like behind the scenes at an event like that when it was the first appearance for Patrick Peterson right after this suspension. Up next, now we know, according to Gambo, the reason why Patrick Peterson was so upset at OTAs at the beginning of the offseason training period. Now we got to ask this, was it justified? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coming up at 7:30, Maloney will give you a longer update on the PGA Championship, but two things of note. Danny Lee was the one that was only one shot back as he shot a 64, a 6-under yesterday that made you go, wow. You know, we expect it from Brooks
Danny
to be
Lee.
Great. Well, Danny Lee's 4-over today, so he's dropped a 2-under. while Dustin Johnson is 4 under today. So he's jumped up to the point that he's only 2 shots behind Brooks Koepka. Koepka, however, does not tee off today until 10:49 in the morning our time, almost 2 o'clock there on Long Island. So he's one of the latest to tee off.
You could also see Dustin Johnson doing very, very well on Bethpage Black.
Boy, if he
right?
keeps it straight and putts, it's
absolutely
over the way he is.
7,500 yards. Stop at
I heard it's over 7 miles to walk.
It's just incredible, and it's hilly, too.
Yeah, yeah. Very uncomfortable, unless, of course, you have McDonald's, a Diet Coke, and a cigarette, and a golf cart. Then it's supposedly...
The undulation of it all.
Supposedly not as bad. Patrick Peterson, charitable event yesterday. Paul was there. He'll give us a lot of information about it coming up at 7:30. Patrick Peterson went up, made a statement, apologized to you, the fan base, said thank you to his family for loving him, and then took questions, in which his PR department had said there he's not going to take questions. He did take questions, and he was asked, how's your relationship with the team?
Our relationship is great. You know, I had a conversation with Steve earlier, you know, so we're just looking forward to moving forward.
That is, you know, honestly, right now, just listening to him yesterday, did you not get the idea, Doug Lease, that maybe this relationship isn't as edgy, as bloody, metaphorically speaking, as we imagined?
One way or the other, either, and if all this is true, what he's saying, either it wasn't as bloody, or it was at one point, and for us, this is the first we're hearing about it. But they've had enough time since it actually happened for him to kind of get over it. If I kind of walk myself through this situation.
I'm sorry, Douglas. I'm juxtaposing snakes in the grass. I'm juxtaposing mm-hmm. that with what I'm hearing coming and from Pat Pitt.
The only reason I'm a little careful is I think Patrick Peterson is so good with the media. Is he saying the right thing and doesn't mean it? And I don't know that because snakes in the grass is so strong. But I hope to believe it.
Just knowing that Cliff Kingsbury actually showed up
yeah.
there, though, was that at the event?
Yeah.
The charity
that means
event?
A lot.
I don't know.
Here's what I
confusing.
Mean by...
That's all I'm saying.
Here's what I mean by walking through it, and I'm really following along exactly what you're saying, Wolf, is that we find out, we see these weird tweets, Instagram posts that snakes in the grass, and then having a shot of the group of people he loved playing with, but now he's not playing with anymore.
Yeah.
And then he misses.
Oh, it was, let's face it,
an off-season
it was
workout.
Frying pan to your face.
And it's like, wait a minute, Larry Fitzgerald's there and you're not there. What in the world is going on here? And we didn't know then. Well, then, if you didn't hear Gambo's report yesterday, I thought it was fantastic reporting, and it makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Gambo reported that Patrick Peterson knew about the suspension, approached the Arizona Cardinals asking for a restructuring of the contract. And the reason why you would want that is because he got most of his signing bonus early on, he's now at the point of his contract where he makes a lot of money per game.
Yes.
But doesn't make a lot of money in bonuses. Well, why does that matter when you're suspended? You don't lose bonus money during a suspension. You lose game checks. So he now loses the vast majority of the back end of the money that he is expected to make. So he approached the Cardinals and hoped for a restructuring so that a lot of his 2019 salary could be put in the form of bonuses.
Yes.
Which the NFL wouldn't be able to touch. And you could actually have it not cost the Cardinals at all. In that sense, it could be, and I'm just going to make up numbers to make it easy. Let's say he gets paid $5 million this year. Well, it could either be $5 million divided by 16, and you make that every week. Or it could be something like $4 million up front.
Yeah.
And then a little sprinkling of money once a game to make up the other million. And the Cardinals didn't do it. And then that's why he was so upset. That's Gambo's report is that, and the numbers, again, I'm making up, but Gambo's report was he was upset that they didn't restructure his contract and convert it to bonuses.
And as I was talking to Gambo yesterday on Burns and Gambo right there, that was the part of it I could not understand. I could not understand. Why is he so upset? Why would he be upset? And John continued to say what is true, right? What we believe to be true, that he wanted to rework the deal. He wanted an extension. He wanted new monies. He wanted them to restructure the contract, period, right? And at the same time, I could not understand why in the world would they do that? You went out and got hit with a 6-game suspension for PEDs.
Mm-hmm.
And now you want us to go ahead and say, oh, that's fine, Patrick. There's nothing wrong. maybe Patrick came to his senses. Maybe that was the reason why he actually toned down yesterday.
I'm hoping that's exactly what happened, because that's what would make sense. Because I think Gambo's report is excellent. And then I believe that that's what Patrick did. And what I'm hoping is it was a reaction. I'm hoping Patrick walked out mad.
Correct.
Thought, and I hate to say it, but I'm going to use the word, was entitled to some kind of exception. Look what I've done for this organization. Now it's your turn to help me. And you didn't do it. So now I'm upset. I blast you. But once you get it out of your system, maybe somebody close to him comes up to him. I know I've got a wife that does this regularly and says, what are you doing? This is wrong. You cheated. You did this wrong. You did them a wrong. And they chose not to help you out. Maybe they could have, but why do you expect it? So I don't have a problem with Patrick Peterson asking. I do have a major problem with Patrick Peterson reacting. But we've all had reactions that are really ill-informed and ill-advised.
And not only that.
And I'm hoping he realizes it.
The only way I think the Arizona Cardinals could actually do it, I'm pretty sure of this, ladies and gentlemen, but don't hold me to this, but I do believe the only way the Arizona Cardinals could go ahead and do a restructure of the contract is to give him an extension. To give him an extension. He's still got 2 years left on this contract. It's not like he's going into his contract year, right? Mm-hmm. To give him an extension right now. And who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what the Arizona Cardinals are going to do? Who knows what their plans are down the road? I don't know. I really don't.
You bring up something that's really interesting about this is if his production stayed the same, no suspension, blah, 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 there's no doubt they were going to be talking extension at the end of the 2019 season.
Correct.
Well, now they've only got 10 games to judge him on. Are they just going to be as open to an extension after this year? Is this the last year he's playing with the Arizona Cardinals?
Honestly, now, this is the harsh reality of it right here. I love Pat P. Basinonis. I absolutely love him. But the harsh reality of this blood sport, the mercenary league that the National Football League is this, knowing that he's got 2 years left, if, in fact, you were a general manager, you were a talent evaluator, you were an owner paying Pat P. what you're paying him, and suddenly you find out he gets hit with PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs, that suddenly he's taking. He's getting close to 30. He's going to be 30 when this contract ends. You know, what does that tell you?
And you're also...
You want to extend him?
You're also asking Steve Keim to take none of this personally.
I'm just
Snakes
saying...
Snakes in the grass, I'm trade just, me. That's
I'm just
hard.
Saying, again, I don't know the particulars of the details of Pappy, and that's what really makes me uncomfortable. And Pappy, I apologize. I don't know what the details are, but I apologize to you, brother, because I'm not trying to mischaracterize your position right now. I am not. But to me, again, and that sends warning flags out to every general manager in this league for the most part. You're close to 30 and you get hit with this and now you want an extension. It just doesn't compute.
I don't feel bad because he has every right to call in and say, no, here's my position. And he could have done it then and we would let him have the stage. Coming up next, there's one man that Patrick Peterson said, hey, I want you to be the MC of my charitable event. And it was Paul Calvisi. And he saw Cliff Kingsbury there. We'll get the latest on what actually happened last night next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Good morning, it's Doug and Wolf. We are not in the Auction Community Studios, but Paul is the sideline reporter for the Arizona Cardinals. Wolf and I are in the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center today with breaking news yesterday that Patrick Peterson was suspended for 6 games, in which the way we read the CBA, we don't know anything about Patrick's situation, but we know what the CBA says. And if you test positive for a performance-enhancing drug that's on the list of things you're not allowed to have in your body, it even says in the CBA, this might shock you, if your team says you can use it, and they're wrong, it's still your fault. It actually says that in the CBA. And it's like, wow, okay. Even though they go to great lengths to train, to teach the trainers and everything else what you're allowed to do.
So well, you can see why that would be the case.
Yes,
right?
Because then you can accuse somebody else again. So you have a 4-game suspension for that. And then if you do anything to try to hide it, whether it's a masking agent, whether it's kind of make a mockery of the testing situation, there's even stories of players acting like they bumped into the tester to spill the sample everywhere. I sure. Oh, sorry, my bad. You know, stuff
I've heard
like that.
Unbelievable stories.
So if you do anything like that, then you can get hit with a 2-game suspension on top of it, and that's how you end up with the 6. So we don't know why it's 6 for Patrick, but that's what the CBA says you get for a first-time offender. And then he had a charitable event yesterday, and at the event where they said, we're going to make a statement and that's it, he actually went up with an unprepared statement, meaning it came from the heart, and then took questions. Here's his statement.
Just want to make a quick statement regarding the news that happened today. Definitely sorry what broke out today, but for the most part, I just want to I think you guys understand my character and also understand my commitment on and off the field and also to my teammates and also to the Arizona Cardinals organization. That's why this is apparently very, very hard for me because I've obviously never been in a situation before and never wanted to have my name attached to anything like this. But I'm looking to move forward and put this behind me. I want to thank my family, my teammates, the coaching staff, the Arizona Cardinals community, and also organization. And I'm looking forward to getting back week 7. I'm going to continue to try to keep that smile on my face and get back to being the best defense in the league.
Now, Paul, I got to ask, this has got to be weird. I think we've all been in a situation when we're completely let down by a friend that we respect, that we care about. I got to ask you, if you're running the charity event, what was that first moment like when you went up to talk to Patrick?
You could see it, Doug. You know, you think of Pat and you think of that smile. He has this perma smile. He loves life. He loves football. He loves his teammates. He has a way of enjoying himself at all times. And that smile was most definitely muted yesterday there with the media. And then later at the event, you know, he owned it. He regretted it. He was remorseful. He was contrite. And it was genuine. There are a lot of, you know, sorry, not sorry statements yes. that are made by athletes. This wasn't one of them. He was advised not to even address it at all. And he had the statement. He addressed it with nothing in front of him. And then we were told, the media was told, he's not going to take any questions. And he did. And he followed up on it. And then at the event himself, I can tell you, he went up and he apologized again to everyone in the
Whoa.
Room. And
wow, that's good.
And it was just the manner in which he went about it, and you could tell just how deeply he was wounded by a lot of it. And the fact that the news came out on the day of his event, a lot of guys would have been bitter.
Yes.
They really would have. And they would have wondered, okay, who did that and why? What was the ulterior motive? And none of that.
That is part of the storyline here.
Absolutely. Who? Why did Adam Schefter release that info? Had he been sitting on it? Because it was more than a little curious and suspicious that it came out on the very day of his charity event. But I will say that as a guy who has opened 14 reading centers for underprivileged kids in some of the toughest areas in Arizona, they raised enough money last night to open 4 more.
Wow, that is awesome.
And
Paul.
One of the school principals came up and gave a tribute to Pat that was moving and what he's done for some of these underserved schools and kids. And so before everyone rushes to assassinate his character, I'll just say, and obviously I'm biased, I've known Pat from day one, and I got a lot of respect for what he does. You know, this was a mistake that he owned. I don't think it speaks of his character as a person. And you could just tell that he's regretted at so many levels, and the support was there in the room, not only from people that he's known and a lot of the luminaries and celebrities who showed up and a lot of Hall of Famers, but the head coach himself, Cliff Kingsbury, was there.
That's a big deal to me, Paul.
And was chopping it up with Pat for a good half hour that I saw before the event even started.
That's a big deal to me. First of all, I thought his statement was fantastic. And the reason why is because he did not read from a prepared statement. Paulie, I have no idea. You were there. You were saying they were telling him not to even address it, whatever it may be. The fact that he addressed it, number one, the fact that he did not read it from a prepared statement, whenever I'm thinking to myself, this is the time where he's going to do it. That's the time where he's going to read from a prepared statement, and he spoke from the heart. That was shocking to me. It really was. The fact that he was sincere, he was genuine, he was believable, I think, and didn't deny anything and actually apologized to everybody. What all of this means to me, the fact that Cliff Kingsbury is there and was there last night, the juxtaposition of what happened on the Instagram account before the draft, right? It was before
Snakes
the draft.
In the grass.
What happened that, and oh, I see where we stand. Remember that when he tweeted that out as well. I think juxtapose that with what we're hearing right now. This fills me with a little hope that maybe Patrick Peterson, maybe this relationship can be mended.
One of the best, obviously, to date, best move Cliff Kingsbury has done. By being there, is there's going to be a lot of players that will notice that as well, that Cliff Kingsbury was there. Great move by Patrick Peterson to address it. And I like what you brought up, Paul, because, listen, the man cheated. You know, there's no other way around the fact that the man cheated. But how many times are you going to screw up in life and then you meet it head on so early on? You know how many people, not athletes, people, would have bailed on an event when they are made to look that bad? How many executives in the world have a place to go and then they're caught in a stock market scandal, some kind of scandal with another person of the opposite sex? You have all these things and you say, you know what, I'm avoiding this moment. I'm not going to this moment now. The fire's too hot. And Patrick still said, I'm there. And there's going to be a lot of kids that when they grow up will realize, wow, I've screwed up. I've got to face it because Patrick did. I mean, there's a lot of different sides to this event. Paul, what else did you take away?
Well, we know, look, over time, there are athletes who do the charity events, and they won't do a charity event unless the cameras are there. Pat's not one of those guys. He cares. He's not going to bail on the event just because, you know, he was in the news for the wrong reasons, because he's there for the right reasons, and that was the kid in the charity event. That's the best way to explain it. It was sort of like when Paul Goldschmidt got that award from PCH, and I had the pleasure of emceeing that, and I'm talking to some of the people, and they said, you know what, we had a hard time finding any actual photographic evidence to put together the flyer. Think of what that says about Paul Goldschmidt, that he's there at PCH with the kids and there are no cameras around. So that's how you truly know whether a guy's in it for the right reasons.
What that also says is, I didn't realize, Paul, that you have this MC moonlighting gig around town.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, wow. I'm just available.
Do you have business cards?
You guys are busy. I'm just available.
It's always
that's
good.
All. Just available around here.
I mean,
that's
the light
all.
Shining off his forehead. It's incredible.
Coming up next. An odd question because of the blowback that he's getting and he deserves. Who's affected more by the suspension, the Cardinals or Patrick? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Yeah.
Since the last time we talked, PGA, Dustin Johnson picked up a couple bogeys. So he's at 4 under par. He's in second place behind Brooks Koepka, who doesn't tee off until 10:49 this morning, as Koepka is still in first place. 3 shots off the lead above Johnson and Danny Lee. Danny Lee, 6 under yesterday, 3 over so far today, and he's got 5 holes remaining at the PGA Championship. We'll probably be talking a lot of D-backs and golf coming up on Monday, especially if the D-backs do well starting tonight against the Giants. They start at 6:40, and they play the Mets in a weekend series right around the end of May, beginning of June. Other than that series, it's about 16 games of NL West. So some of the travel's tough, but at least it's not across the country. And then you got home games, too. It's just all division. Here you go. So if you they've earned the right to be here, but now that you're here, this is kind of one of those stretches where it's go, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Absolutely, Douglas.
But today is all about Patrick Peterson, and Patrick Peterson has invoked, you know, emotion from around the country. And I want you to hear this. I really respect Lewis Riddick a lot. I think he's very, very good at his job, and I do think he'll be a good general manager, and I do believe he's going to get a GM job at some point. Fair or not, maybe you should be working for it within an organization and not just being on TV, but so far it's going well for Mayock, and I think Riddick will get that. But I play this, even though I disagree with this being targeted to the Cardinals, I think it's fair to play it to say this is a national perception of what he thinks about Patrick Peterson's suspension.
it's funny how certain organizations seem to always attract these kinds of things, these kinds of pitfalls, this kind of adversity that doesn't allow them to ever really get into the upper echelon of the rest of the league and stay there. And that's not taking a shot at Patrick. That's just the way it is.
And the reason why I play that for you
is
so odd. I can easily agree with him in such a short-term window. You know, in a short-term window, when you say, okay, if you're an organization that has a bad hire in Steve Wilks and you have that disaster go forward, you fire a first-year rookie head coach just to hire another rookie head coach, you have the Patrick Peterson trade request last year, and now you have this situation. I do believe that they butchered the Josh Rosen thing at the very end and not trying being able to get more value, but they certainly handled Kyler Murray excellent. I can see in the short term, but I think, Lewis, when you say something like that, you are forgetting, wow, the patience they showed Ken Whisenhunt when I think most people would have fired him a lot sooner. And then the success they had under Bruce Arians, can't you just be a good organization that's having a bad stretch?
I don't understand that mentality right there. I agree with your short-term window. We're talking about last year.
Yeah.
We're talking about what happened last year. Pat P, what happened with Pat P here? How do you blame the organization for that?
Yeah, that's true,
How do you blame the organization for that when it was Pat P? I totally don't know what Lewis Riddick is talking about in regard to this. I really don't. I'm trying to understand that. The short-term window, okay, last year. Before that, by the way, they won 50 games in 5 years. What are you saying? They were not a successful franchise? I really don't understand that take at all
now,
from a guy that I respect a ton.
Now, his next opinion, it really holds a lot of water because it's simple. You look at this situation, and it's an interesting question. Who does this affect more, Patrick or the Cardinals?
This affects both parties, right? Yeah. Patrick's looking for another big payday.
True.
Okay, and he's someone who's, again, has been considered a blue chipper in the NFL for a very long time. You know, when you're trying to secure that kind of contract, you need to be airtight as far as your behavior, as far as your play on the field, as far as how you're taking care of your body. And as you just mentioned, look, the league lets you know you're responsible for what you put in your body. And if there's any question, you have to abstain. You have to say, nope, can't do it.
Right.
If it's not clear to me that this is something that's legal.
This is one of the more difficult questions, if you want to be fair to both sides here, is going forward with Patrick Peterson. You're going to be talking about a man who's entering year 30 of his life, which normally is the line of demarcation for players. However, that's starting to get changed more and more with new technologies, new medicine, new training, and new knowledge about the digestive system, what to eat, things like that. You're dealing with a guy that's still one of the best three players at his position in the NFL.
I think he's the best man cover corner in the NFL. That's just me.
And then you also have a guy that's demanded a trade, and you don't know the effect of how much do PEDs have to do with his success.
Yes.
Did he use them for the end of last year, or is this the first time he's been caught and he's been using them for a long time?
I have no
idea. Is it totally diabetic related, as a source told Dan Bickley, and you can read about that at arizonasports.com, and you kind of say, you know what, I'll give you a little bit of room here, not in the sense of responsibility.
I'll take a knee.
Your responsibility is still 100%. They have a phone number in the CBA that says players call this number. it's right there. Your agent is supposed to know everything about this to give you the information, and you said, no, I'm going to do this on my own, and it's been told to you 9 million times, don't do that. And he did it. So he deserves this, but at the same time, are you really not going to extend one of the best players in the NFL?
I think it affects the collective as opposed to the individual more. I do. I believe that. I believe it's going to affect the Arizona Cardinals more because of how it's going to impact them in the first six games of the season on the field. I don't know how many games Patrick Peterson, if in fact he would have played the first 6 weeks of the season, how many games they would have won because Patrick Peterson played. I really don't know that, but I do know this. I think it's going to impact the team more, trying to replace a Patrick Peterson, right? Because once again, if you start getting into game plans, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, on the tactical level right now, the strategic level and the tactical level, it is a massive benefit to the defensive coordinator to be able to line one human being up over from another human being, the best wide receiver the other team has, and pretty much mitigate everything that guy does from that from that fact forward, your chances of winning a game go through the roof exponentially because your defense has a chance of actually playing so much better. But having said all of that right now, right, I think this will be, whether Pappy is with the Arizona Cardinals in a year or two or somewhere else, I think this will all go bye-bye because Pappy is Pappy and his talent is incredible and somebody's going to sign him and say, you know what, you're going to be our starting quarter, period. Whether it's here or somewhere else. I really don't think that's going to impact him, his legacy, especially because of who he is as a person. I think it's going to impact the team going forward more.
I like how you said, you know, we don't know which games when it's over. Oh, that would have been a win with Patrick, or that, you know, they would have lost that game anyway or no matter what. But when you look at each game, and if you want to rank them, he misses the Atlanta game. And they've already got great receivers anyway. You'd like to be able to say, and even when he shut down Julio, he shut him down for 3 catches and 60 yards. You know, yeah. But that's shutting him down compared to everybody else.
Robert Elford will be on point for that game.
That's true. AJ Green is the Bengals are at State Farm Stadium on October 6th.
Okay, stop. That's enough.
You'd like to have that. But the other games, there aren't receivers that scare you, but you certainly would like to confuse Lamar Jackson at Baltimore and take somebody away and force him even more to run. But, you know, you're not as scared about that. Matthew Stafford's the home opener and the season opener.
He can wing it.
And he can wing it, so I'd love to be able to say this receiver's gone. You don't get to deal with him. Then you got Russell Wilson is game four. The only division game he misses is that one. That is the one silver lining,
yes,
about this.
Right.
They've got one division game out of every game, and his first game back at home will be a division game against San Francisco.
Scheduling matters.
It does. When you play the teams, you already know who you're going to play, but when you play them, the bye week, injuries, that all factors in. Coming up next, how long did the Cardinals know that they would be without the services of Patrick Peterson? And how much effect has it had on their offseason plans? Because we just found out yesterday. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.